Amen, indeed. Good morning. Good morning. So good to see everybody here today. Everybody needs a circle. Everybody needs to feel connected in their relationship with Christ and with one another. One of the primary ways that God made us to reflect His image is to need each other. We need one another, and we need the support that we provide to each other. One of the primary ways that we provide that as a church family here is through our small group ministry. It's one of the ways that you can connect with other believers and grow in your discipleship. And this morning is the first day that we're beginning the formation of our new season of small groups. You probably saw as you came in this morning the tables as well as this little flyer. If you've not picked one of these up, I encourage you to. On the back side, it has all the meeting times of our small groups for this season. And on the inside is a handy little map that shows you where all the groups will be meeting and who's facilitating each of those groups. This morning is the first opportunity you have to show your intention to be a part of one of those groups. You can go to any of these groups you want to. You can choose to go at any time. But today begins the first opportunity to begin the formation of those groups. And that'll continue again next Sunday. So we encourage you to take a look at that and to begin the process of thinking about which group you want to be a part of even this morning. Let's begin with a word of prayer before we get into the lesson. Would you bow with me, please? Our Father in heaven, we look up to you for the help that we need. We know that all true help comes from you, our Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. We know that you walk with us along the way, that you never slumber or sleep, but that you watch over each one of us as your children. And so, Father, as you watch over us, we pray that you would help us to take your right hand, that we would have the intention of walking with you step by step along the way as we make our climb through this life and as we follow after your Son Jesus who leads us to that better place. We pray, Father, that you help us to be the kinds of disciples that you want us to be. Forgive us of our sins and transgressions and help us to walk in the light even as you are. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Every once in a while, everybody needs a pep talk. And that's what I want to talk to you about for the next few moments this morning. We all need a little encouragement. We need to hear that we're doing a good job. We need to feel the inspiration that comes by somebody noticing us in this life. I want to share a story with you that sounds like a bad joke. A man walks into a diner. And this man walks into a diner and he asks the lady working at the counter, "Where is your payphone?" This was days before the cell phone. "Where's your payphone?" And she points over to the corner. And the man walks over to the payphone. He drops a quarter into the slot and he begins talking on the phone, and the waitress is listening in to his conversation. Apparently, the man on the other line picks up the phone and he says, "Yes, yes." He says, "I'm calling to ask if you need to hire someone to be a sales manager for all of your salesmen." He says, "I'm wondering if you have an opportunity for this sales manager position. For a hardworking man, a responsible man, who will take this job and be very serious about it and do a good job for you." And the man on the other side of the line, who apparently is the boss of some company, says, "Well, I appreciate your call today, but we already have a hardworking, responsible manager of our sales staff." And he says, "Oh, okay, well, thank you." And he hangs up the phone. As he turns around, he has this huge smile on his face, which confuses the waitress. As he begins walking over, she says, "I've just got to ask you, why do you have a smile on your face? I heard you say, repeat what the man said to you on the phone, that they already have a hardworking, responsible manager of their sales staff." And he said, "I know, I'm that hardworking, responsible manager of the sales staff. I just wanted to make sure the boss knew it." Now here's the point of that little story. The point is, everywhere you look, people are starving for affirmation and encouragement. This guy called up just to try to get some from his boss. But everywhere you look, people are feeling disillusioned, they're feeling discouraged, they're feeling down and out, and they're literally starving for somebody to come along and just notice them. All of us feel this longing, this desire to be noticed, to be affirmed, to be encouraged. But it seems all too often that it's in short supply. As we walk through life, it's like many of us are walking through a desert, longing for a cool glass of water, and the water never comes. For many of you in your seat this morning, you might be thinking, you know, I don't get any affirmation or encouragement at home. I don't get any affirmation or encouragement at work. I don't get any affirmation or encouragement anywhere that I look in life. And for many of us, it's like we are starving for water in the desert. And we're just needing a little bit of encouragement. Now, whenever you think about encouragement, though, for some reason, as adults, as parents, we know the power and the value of encouragement for our kids. I mean, we'll go to baseball games and we'll cheer on our kids and we'll tell them, even if they lost the game, buddy, you played a good game. You did a good job. They bring home their report card and maybe they didn't do as good as they had hoped in the subject of math, but they still got a B+, and we know how hard they worked, and we encourage them and we say, you know what, you worked hard. You earned that B+, and you did a good job. We know the value of inspiring little kids because we know we need to build them up. We need to encourage them if they're going to develop and grow into responsible adults. But for some reason, when we become adults, we suddenly lose, many of us, the value of encouragement for others. We think, well, that's just for those people that need that kind of thing, or encouragement's just for children. But I'm here to tell you this morning, everybody needs encouragement. Not just children. Everybody needs some affirmation. Because affirmation, in reality, is a form of love. And almost everybody feels like they need more of it. But you know what? We have all kinds of excuses as to why we think we don't need to be the ones going around dishing out this kind of encouragement for others. We come up with these excuses. We think things like, well, if I go around telling people what a good job they're doing and affirming them, they're going to get the big head. It's going to inflate their ego. It's going to make them arrogant and prideful. And so we withhold encouragement because we think somehow it's going to be harmful to them if we do it. Or, in a little bit more devious kind of way, sometimes we withhold encouragement because we know that if we shine the spotlight on the job somebody else is doing, somehow it will diminish the attention or the contribution that we're making. And so for selfish reasons, we withhold giving encouragement to other people. And here's what I want you to see this morning is that I'm coming to realize how unbelievably important the ministry of encouragement is. We think we're doing somebody a disservice sometimes and we object to encouragement because we think we're going to get a big head or it's going to diminish my contribution, when in fact we may be doing more harm to people by not giving encouragement than we would on the off chance that giving encouragement would cause someone to be arrogant or prideful. You see, encouragement is like wind in the sails. It's like the lifeblood of endurance. We absolutely need encouragement in order to continue walking in the Christian life and to continue progressing and being successful in every avenue of life. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 27 says, "Do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it is in your power to help them." So let's say that you're a boss at work and you know that some of your employees are working hard for you, maybe not giving the results that maybe you'd like to see, but you know they're giving their all. Why not acknowledge their contribution? Why not encourage them and inspire them? You may find that by giving encouragement, you get a better result than you did if you're highly critical of the job they're doing. Because people all around us, or maybe in your relationships at home, with your kids or your spouse, if you're the nagging person that's always pointing out the negative, pointing out what's wrong, you're going to find that you're going to get an even worse relationship than if you're trying to inspire and encouragement and look for the good. This proverb says that if you are withholding good from people that deserve it, when it's in your power to do so, that you're in the wrong, friend. Why not look for ways to inspire and encourage and notice the contribution of those around you? This is the takeaway point. If you're looking for like a major takeaway point from today's lesson, this is it. The world has more than enough critics. Be an encourager. Why not be an encourager? I mean, there is no shortage of people that are going to notice the things that are wrong about the job you did, or about the life you're living, or the choices that you're making. There's no shortage of those folks, but there is a drastic shortage of people that will go around noticing the good that people are doing and inspiring them to actually progress and move forward and even do a better job by encouragement and affirmation. I like this quote I read this week when I was preparing for the sermon. Be generous with encouragement. It's verbal sunshine. It costs nothing, but it warms the heart. It gives hope and inspiration to the people that you give it. It's like verbal sunshine. Why not be a person that goes around shining light of hope and acknowledgement into the hearts of other people around you? Now, I know what some of you are thinking this morning. Because as I was preparing this sermon and I got to this point, I thought there are going to be some people that are sitting there thinking, well, this sure is a fluffy sermon. This is a feel-good kind of sermon. This is kind of a sermon light. You know, we've not really looked at a text of Scripture and unpacked all of the meaning of that passage. But instead, we're looking at a Christian concept, and you might think this is like cotton candy stuff. This is like puffy as a cloud kind of stuff. But I want you to see and really impress on you right now that when it comes to this idea of encouragement, this could not be more of an important topic. It is not fluff. It's not sermon light. In Hebrews chapter 3, just real quickly, if you want to look at it, you can, but just let me give you the gist. In Hebrews chapter 3, in that sermon, we started talking about that some last week. This is a sermon, a dictated sermon of the first century church. Somebody preached this sermon, and somebody wrote it down. And the preacher, as he's preaching the sermon, he knows in his audience, there are lots of people that are on the verge of just giving up, of calling it quits, of throwing in the towel. He knows it. And so he is trying to encourage them to not give up. And in Hebrews chapter 3, when you read that chapter, he goes through a history lesson a little bit. And he says, you know, there have been people all along the way, God's people, that have at certain points in time have gotten to a place where their hearts have become hard against spiritual things. He talks about the people, the children of Israel in the days of Moses. And it wasn't just in the past that this was true. Even some of you today may be this way. That because of things that have gone wrong in your life, or things haven't happened the way that you think they ought to in some avenue, you've become very calloused, very hard-hearted, very cynical that anything's ever going to get better at work, at church, or in your home. You've become very hard-hearted. Or maybe for some of us, we become so hard-hearted that sometimes then we begin to even question whether or not God is good anymore. And we start to have a feeling of unbelief. And unbelief, if it goes on long enough, will then lead to ultimate rebellion against God and about His ways. But in Hebrews chapter 3, when he talks about the danger of hard-heartedness, the danger of unbelief, and the danger of rebellion, he says in verse 15, that is why you must encourage one another daily, as long as today is called today, as long as there's opportunity, as long as you have the chance. You and I should be looking everywhere to try to find somebody that we can speak a word of encouragement to, because it is a matter of spiritual life and death. There may be somebody sitting next to you this morning that is this close to abandoning their faith. There may be somebody across the auditorium this morning that you have a relationship with that you know they're struggling so much that they may be at the point of just completely checking out altogether. And the only thing that's going to prevent that from happening is for some of us to notice, to come alongside and to speak a word of affirmation, a word of encouragement, to shed a little verbal sunshine into the heart of another believer. It is a matter of life and death. In fact, it is the antidote. It is the only thing that will prevent hardness of heart, unbelief, and rebellion, is how we need to be concerned daily about encouraging one another. Proverbs 12 and verse 25 says, "Anxious hearts are very heavy, but a word of encouragement does wonders." You want to do wonders? You want to basically perform a miracle in the life of somebody else that can turn the tide of the direction of their life? Then why not speak a word of encouragement that could really alter their destination or alter the path that they're on and put them on a higher plane? Words of encouragement do wonders. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, one of the earliest letters that we have of the early church, one of the very first things that Paul would write, one of the very first things we have recorded that an apostle would write to a church, says, "So encourage each other and build up each other, just indeed as you are doing." Do you see how vital, how important, how unbelievably necessary that encouragement is? To illustrate this point and to drive it home, I want to share with you a brief video clip at this point in the sermon. This video clip was done by someone that I went to college with at Freed Hardeman by the name of Brad Montague. Some of you may know Brad, or you may know of the things he's been doing the past few years. He's been developing videos and really a ministry of trying to encourage people. And with the help of his little nephew, they started making these videos called Kid President. And this one particular video, he talks about how you and I might need to go and give somebody a pep talk.
I think we all need a pep talk.
You've just been pep talked. Create something that will make the world awesome.
Play ball. If we're all on the same team, then let's start acting like it. There are two roads, and I want to be on the one that's awesome. Do you want to be on that awesome road? Well, I tell you what it's going to take for many of us to be on that road is to be encouraged by somebody. So why not this week find somebody that you can give a pep talk to, someone that you can encourage, someone that you can inspire, somebody that you know needs a little affirmation, because this is one of the most important Christian ministries. It absolutely is something that can be a matter of life and death. So I've got a challenge for you. I know we've all got enough to do, but if you're saying, okay, how can I go and live this out? Let me just give you an idea. Here's something I'm going to do this week. If you want to join me, then you can. Other, you don't have to do this. You can come up with some better idea, but here's a possible idea. Here's a handwritten challenge I'm going to give you. Why not this week, in the next 10 days, find 10 people, one person a day, and handwrite a note of encouragement to them. 10 days, 10 people, 10 notes can make a world of difference. So I want to encourage you this week, why not give somebody a pep talk? Let's stand together, please. Maybe this morning you came to worship because you felt discouraged and you needed some inspiration. Maybe you got just a little bit of that today. But I'm going to tell you something, more than just inspiration, what you need, if you've not accepted your Savior, is you need Jesus. If you want to come and embrace the life that He has for you, to come to see the new horizons that He makes possible, the abundant life and the eternal life that He offers, we would love to talk to you more. If you need a personalized Bible study, or maybe you're ready to plunge your life and commit your life to Jesus in repentance and baptism, or maybe you need the prayers of the shepherds of this flock privately in the library, if we can help you, come to Jesus as we sing together.